It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
And welcome. We are so glad you're with us. Exciting show today. Before I get to the fun, we're going to first get to Scott Connor.
What are you saying?
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
I'm just kidding, Scott. I like to throw things every now and then so see how you react.
Indeed.
Yes. Well, give us some fun then. Tell us about what's going on in the market.
Well, Friday was actually a lot of fun in the market. Dow 156 points. S&P 19 points. NASDAQ continues its rage up 45 points. Money coming out of risk off and into risk on with gold down $30 on the day.
Is that like wax on, wax off?
Yep, kind of. Okay. Oil up $1.19 in an irrelevant statistic. Economy, this is the number you've been looking for. The economy created 243 new positions in January. The unemployment rate went to 8.3. Expectation was 150,000 jobs and a steady unemployment rate at 8.5. And the number that David loves to hear, the number of people who do not have a job.
Who want one,
12.8 million.
All right. But you don't seem as happy as I do, though.
I'm going to tell you something about the census in
here
a minute.
Here we go. Okay.
How's that for fun?
Scott's not very happy, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let's hear it.
What? Oh, you want that now?
No, I want you to get to the part that you want to get to. Go ahead.
Okay, we need a couple extra minutes for this.
That's all right. We can come back. Go ahead.
Pace of growth in the services sector posted a surprising acceleration, rising to 56.8. That's a diffusion index. Economists had expected the index to hold steady at 53. Diffusion index means the further above 50 you are, the stronger the number is. Factory orders climbed 1.1% in December. These are all Friday's releases, so good news there. Pretty much across the board. Restaurant stocks were up really strongly on that service sector number. European shares were up after UK services PMI, Purchasers Managers Index, jumped to a 10-month high. So that was good news. We always have to have our Greek update.
Absolutely.
Prime Minister Lucas Papademos is having a hard time getting his austerity measures through. And if he doesn't get his austerity measures through, he's going to take his football and he's going to go home.
Well, if he doesn't get the austerity measures through, he don't get the money.
Yeah.
They don't get the money for the next installment of their loan.
Well, he told his parliament that if they don't do what he wants them to do, then he's done.
He quits.
Yeah, he's done.
Okay.
And in a very sad story that came out at about 2:30, CEO of Micron Semiconductor, Steve Appleton, 53-year-old guy, very, very dynamic guy, out flying an experimental airplane all by himself. And crashed it and passed away. He had been the CEO at Micron since 1994.
That's sad.
Yeah, he really, by all accounts, was really a very dynamic and interesting guy. And
I tell you what, those planes, those small little planes.
Why you gotta fly the plane?
I know, it's sad, but it seems like they have such a John Denver. That's the way he died.
Yeah,
and,
fixed wing
there's
experimental
other stories
aircraft.
Sure, of other folks, and just that's sad.
Had to fly the aircraft. Looking at the next week, earnings, big earnings week. Hasbro, Humana, Yum Brands on Monday. Tuesday, we have a three-year auction and consumer credit numbers, as well as earnings from BP, Coca-Cola, Disney, some big ones there. Wednesday, we get a mortgage applications number, which is a worthless number, and a 10-year note auction. 10-year yields spiked up strongly today, almost all the way back up to 2%, in another indication of risk on, risk off.
Interesting.
Thursday, jobless claims, the weekly number that we always get, earnings from Pepsi. Friday, consumer sentiment number, and earnings from Barclays.
Okay, so I'm hearing a lot of positive things.
Still slow, but positive.
I'm reading you, Scott, and you still don't seem happy.
Here's my number behind the number of the unemployment number.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
In January, they switched from using the 2000 census to the 2010 census.
Okay.
All right, that's a big difference.
It's a big
10
switch.
Years. So they added, on that switch, they added 1.5 million people to the civilian non-institutional population.
Okay.
People, okay? Where do you think those people went, David?
I'm going to, well, see, based on your skeptical, cynical vibe I'm picking up, I'm gonna guess that they went into the employment number.
No, they went into the not in the labor force number.
Oh, so they said, okay, they're new, but they don't count.
They're not looking for a job.
They're not looking for a job. Okay.
1.2 of them not in labor force. Labor force, 86.6 million to 87.8 million. So we got 1.5 million people in the system. None of them are looking for a job. So the unemployment rate goes down.
Wow.
How's that?
That's pretty slick.
It's very slick.
So
and what they said was, well, most of these people are either 55 and older or between 16 and 24, and those people don't look for jobs. What are you, crazy?
Well, there's nothing like skewing your numbers. I don't get that because, you know, the number I want to know is how many people want a job and are looking for a job and need a job.
Well, you would have to go and find these 87.8 million people who are so-called not in the labor force and ask them whether or not they're in the labor force.
Okay, well, now I'm disappointed that we can't trust
the
numbers.
That's going to be a lot of work.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
I don't know if I want to ask you to break anything else down for me, Scott. You kind of broke my heart there with the numbers behind the numbers.
I got aggravated with that number, and then all the press headlines were, oh, look how great everything is, how great everything is. And all it takes is one or two financially savvy reporters. It's on page 6.
Right.
You don't even have to dig.
Well, they don't want you to dig. They just want you to take what they give them, what they give you. Take this job and shove it.
Well.
No. Okay.
But I agree with your assessment that things are in the right direction. The ship is pointing in the right direction, but they haven't pulled the anchor all the way up yet.
Okay. I can live with that. Just as long as the ship knows where he's going and he's following the rules and doesn't end up 300 feet off the coast and wreck the boat.
Yeah. I mean, the participation rate is the lowest it's been since the early 80s.
Why is that?
Because 1.5 million new people entered the non-institutionalized population, and none of them are looking for jobs.
Hey, what's non-institutionalized mean, by the way?
I don't exactly know.
Is it just that they're not part? I mean, are they institutional? I mean, they're working for the government?
No, non-institutional, I think, means functioning in society.
Okay, so they're somewhere else. They are either truly in an institution?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about, does it count people that are choosing not to work, like homemakers, in an actual...
They are not in the labor force.
Okay. So it's the people that are in the labor force that are considered part of the non-institutionalized civilian population.
Right.
Okay. We'll firm that definition up. I kind of got Scott with a question there he wasn't ready for, but we'll firm up the definition because we're all about getting this stuff right and not talking out both sides of our mouth like some of this stuff sounds like it is. Any other updates?
Well, just really looking forward to next week. We're about halfway through earnings season, almost exactly halfway through earnings season as of Friday's close. The number of S&P 500 companies that are beating earnings are in the 60% range, which sounds terrific, but that's really, really pretty disappointing. We'd expect that more to be high 70s.
Any updates on Facebook IPO?
No.
Nothing new there. They just basically got a lot of buzz and fuss because they said they're going to go IPO.
Yeah, they finally filed the paperwork. So the big excitement in Thursday was that we actually had a chance to see what was behind the curtain, you know, what the revenues have looked like and what the structure of the shareholders looks like and who the underwriting cartel is going to be and things like that. But we won't really see any action now. They'll go into a so-called quiet period until probably summer sometime. Then they've got to do the road show, so we're going to have plenty of Facebook to talk about, just not right now.
Okay. Well, you know what? We talked the other day about some of the IPO flops using the How Stuff Works website, and I went back and looked, of course, at the ones that did well. Want to be fair and balanced here, right? Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
And the largest IPO, most successful, according to HowStuffWorks.com, was done with Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, and they raised the most ever in a global history of an IPO, and this is as of the date. I don't have the exact date here, but anyway, they raised $19 billion.
Now, that was in a Hong Kong market, wasn't it?
I believe you're right, but that's in dollars, though.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing when Facebook gets to the final stages is, will they break that number? Will they beat that number?
It depends on how much of it they want to sell. I mean, if they sold the whole thing, then they would absolutely break it. But the IPO really is only for the number of shares that they're willing to put out there in public.
And isn't Zuckerman going to keep something like 56%?
57% of the voting shares.
Okay.
They have still a lot of shares in Treasury that are non-voting shares. So there are tons and tons and tons of shares that are not going out on this IPO.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. We'll see what happens. Hey, something else I've been saving, I've been meaning to get to, and it's one of the things that I found interesting is the regulators are getting pretty serious. You know, one of the criticisms, of course, when we saw some of the troubles in the market and brokers and all this other stuff, some of the behavior that created some problems, is that the criticism of the regulators were they weren't doing their job.
Right.
And so there's a definite trend, and you read this article too, Scott. Investment News, which is a pretty good trade publication for investment advisors, they had a report out that they really have ramped up their investigations and their policing of broker-dealers and investment advisors. So for what it's worth, ladies and gentlemen, the regulators are stepping up, stepping out, and they are, you know, they're coming in and they're sitting in broker-dealer offices for, you know, a good 6-8 weeks at a time or whatever they have to do. And recently, Merrill Lynch got themselves in a little bit of trouble with them and ended up having to pay, I just saw this in Investment News, had to pay $1 million FINRA arbitration fine to FINRA.
Yeah, and that one was because they weren't treating their own employees fairly.
Well, that's the allegation.
That's the allegation, but they had to pay the fee, so.
And they had another settlement they had with this guy was an ex-Red Sox catcher.
Yeah, Doug Mirabelli.
And he got a lot of, he had damages related to some investments that didn't go right.
Yeah, the moral of that story is that there's no such thing as a conservative stock portfolio.
That's a great point, and that's a good point to learn from it, and pay attention to this stuff because it's important. All right. Lisa's frantically fanning me with her little sign that says 5 seconds remaining and I'm over. So we'll make it up in the next segment, but come right back. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll keep these breaks short and we'll be right back with some very interesting addition to the show. We have a special guest in our studio office here, so stick around.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 15 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Okay, we are back, and I am super excited to welcome to our studio in our little office here, a conference room we've converted to a studio at the Holland Financial Center. I'm glad and just excited to welcome Mr. Jason Haar.
Thank you, David, for having me back again. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, I'm delighted you're with us. And Jason is an attorney here in, well, he's got two offices now.
Now I've got two.
One in Daytona Beach and one in Ormond Beach. And I asked Jason to come in and talk with us today about we hear so much about what's going on in the real estate market. And part of Jason's expertise, of course, you deal with bankruptcy as well as a variety of different litigation.
Absolutely. Foreclosures,
okay.
All of it.
So what I'd like you to what I'd like to ask you to do, Jason, is just give us a little bit of background and some of the specialty areas that you're working in. I, of course, know that you've worked with some of our clients on some of their estate planning, and we can get into that if we have a little time today. But the main thing I wanted to talk about is, of course, dealing with home ownership and the mortgages. But give us a little background about some of the things you focus on.
Well, the Haar Law Firm, which was founded a little over 6 years ago, is a law firm that concentrates on helping the people in the Volusia County and Flagler County communities, and that includes helping them with this home ownership situation that we find ourselves in. All one has to do is open up the news journal each morning, take a look at the newest suits, and they are predominantly foreclosures. We thought our friends in the banking industry were loaning us money to help us out, and it turned out to be otherwise. So now they're coming after a lot of very good people in this community, and the Haar Law Firm is committed to helping them.
Excellent. Well, we need all the help we can get as a community. And, you know, some of these loans, you know, I know a lot of bankers, and I know they try to make good loans, and they try to do the right thing. But some of the things that have contributed to some of the problems is people that maybe should never have gotten a loan, or what they call these ninja loans.
Absolutely.
The no income, no job applicants. So there's a lot of things that maybe could have been done a lot better. You know, there's a lot of talk out there about, okay, look, I'm upside down. In fact, I think I shared with you some things we were going to talk about, Jason. There was a statistic that almost 11 million homes are now underwater, according to CoreLogic, a financial information provider. And I've got an article from Reuters that's been very helpful in framing up some of the questions I wanted to talk to Jason about. So 11 million underwater. And I guess, you know, let's come straight to it. Sometimes people find themselves in a position of being underwater. They either can't continue to pay the mortgage. Maybe they were going to sell the one, they bought another, and they found themselves caught, you know, in that no man's land of having both homes.
Absolutely.
And they're getting squeezed to death. What do they do? How do they deal with that? And of course, there's a moral question too that a lot of people are tripped up on is, you know, do I break this contract, and if you will, that I've entered into with this bank, or do I just try to ride it out?
Well,
it's tough, isn't it?
It is a tough choice, and I think it is dependent on the person and their financial situation. With respect to the morality issue that goes along with it, walking away from a contract is walking away from a personal obligation, a guarantee that you made. And that is something that will be with you for the rest of your days. And that's certainly something that a family needs to sit down and consider before they decide what they want
to do. So
it's
not something they should just say, forget them. I'm going to do what's best for me. You know, it's because some of the talk and some of the thing out there, I read a lot about this, is that there's some that say, well, you know, it's a contract, and contracts get broken all the time, and sure, it's not really a big deal. And it's a little bit dismissive as to the what's right and wrong, you know, that morality. And it kind of rubs me a little bit.
As it should.
I get what they're talking about, but it bothers me.
As it should, because we in law have this term called good faith and fair dealing. And it supposes that every time we enter into a contract, we're doing so with good faith, that we intend on living up to our contractual obligations. And we plan on dealing fairly with the other side to make sure that we both sides mutually benefit. And that's part of this process.
Well, we'll continue after this very short break talking to Jason Haar, the Haar Law Firm, about what to do if you're upside down and how to deal with this whole issue of home ownership, mortgages, and potential bankruptcy.
9 cents. That's it. 9 cents is all it takes to feed a person if you donate wisely. Have you ever been approached on the street or the side of the road by somebody asking for a couple of bucks and thought, where's my money going? Well, when you choose to donate to Halifax Urban Ministries, that same $2 can buy 20 meals and will be used to win the fight against homelessness. I am a proud supporter, and I want to encourage you to put your money towards something real. Visit HalifaxUrbanMinistries.org to find out how you can help, or call 386-252-0156. 386-252-0156.
See, there, I told you we'd be back right away. Jason said, man, that was a short break.
That was a short break.
Well, I changed it. I like it to get right back to it and not have people waiting to, you know, I don't want them changing channels on me.
Absolutely not.
So here we go. Let's get right back to our conversation with Jason Haar, attorney at law. Hey, give me the definition real quick. I get this question sometimes. Attorney, lawyer, esquire, all the same thing?
Well, yes, but attorney at law, has requires that a lawyer actually possess a license to practice. In other words, you can be an attorney and not be an attorney at law.
I see. Because so you can have your law degree but not be practicing.
That is correct.
Oh, that's good to know.
That is correct. So, but the term esquire is used for anyone who has a law degree. And that is male, female.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, I wasn't even going to ask you that. That's good.
Yeah, we don't discriminate on
that. There's not an
esquire
S or anything like that. Okay.
No way. No
female lawyers are out there going, oh, Lord.
We're going to see if Jason's going to trip up on that.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's get back to business then. Somebody is trying to figure out how to sort out their issues with being upside down. Do they call you? Do they sit down and talk to you about their options? Do they need to go and do something, try to work with the bank first? What do you recommend?
Well, the first thing that I recommend is that they call up a lawyer with an extensive amount of experience in real estate law, such as, you know, at the Haar Law Firm. That way, the lawyer can sit down with you and decide what is your biggest priority and what is most feasible. And the reason you really want to sit down with a lawyer is because if you are falling behind on your mortgage, eventually the bank is going to bring a foreclosure action, which is a legal proceeding.
It's a lawsuit, right?
Absolutely.
It's a lawsuit to make you comply with the contract.
Or to make you comply with the contract, or in the alternative, to allow the bank to take over possession of your home, and you are now going to lose possession of that home.
It's a serious matter. It's a comply or we get the property.
That is correct.
Okay.
So since you're going to eventually be involved in a legal proceeding, it only makes sense that you retain the knowledge of an attorney at the very beginning in hopes that attorney can prevent the foreclosure action altogether, which is certainly within the realm of possibility.
That's
if you're with the
true.
Right law firm.
Well, I'm sure there are people listening right now that have this issue. What's the number if they want to give you a call and talk to you, Jason?
Well, the number is 386-226-4866. Also can look at our beautifully designed webpage, thanks to our friend Lisa.
Lisa, good for you. Yeah, Lisa helped Jason with the website. We appreciate that, Lisa.
Yep. www.haarlawfirm.com.
Excellent.
24/7.
There you go. So they call you, they sit down, they say, okay, what do I do? And then you can consult with them about what needs to be done to deal with it. Your advice might be, well, you know what? You need to do this with the bank, or you need to be prepared for that. You can help them understand the options.
That is correct, because a lawyer with experience in real estate law is going to be able to advise the client as to whether or not their options are realistic. Is the bank going to allow them to refinance? Is the bank going to allow a short sale, a deed in lieu of foreclosure? All these different options which are available to you should be, you know, discussed at that consultation with the lawyer.
What are you seeing from your side of the desk, so to speak? What are you seeing when you're talking and meeting with people? What kind of trends? Are there any trends or, you know, kind of a typical pattern of behavior you're seeing with the banks? And And, of course, now Jason is working a lot in the Volusia-Flagler area,
absolutely.
Flagler County. So if you're listening to us in, you know, Minnesota, obviously the banks may be acting differently up there.
No question.
But what are you seeing here? How are the banks reacting? What kind of response are your clients getting?
Well, once we can get through to talk to the lawyers who are representing the banks, which can often be a frustrating experience, we're finding that they are willing to work with us. I'd like to think that the Haar Law Firm has developed a rapport with many of these banks, and so they are willing to listen, and they know that we're going to present them with a reasonable offer on behalf of our client that can benefit each side in the issue.
Okay, so the banks are willing to take a look at some sort of modification?
Absolutely.
Either in terms of the interest rates, the payments, the terms, all that. To keep it from going, they know that it's going to, at the end of the day, the banks know foreclosure is not probably their best route.
It isn't, because all that happens in the end is the bank ends up as a landowner throughout Volusia and Flagler County, and they have no idea what to do with all that property.
I gotcha.
And no one to buy it.
Well, that's a whole other point, is that they've got to have a buyer, and then they may have to end up selling it at, you know, it's a lot better to have somebody paying the mortgage at a higher rate than have to sell it and get the property and sell it at a much lower rate. All right, Lisa's, I love this conversation, Jason. Lisa's giving me the five second flag again. We'll be right back, another very quick break, and we'll be back with Jason Haar from the Haar Law Firm. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, we're back. Now, give him the number again, Jason.
The Har Law Firm, 386-226-4866.
Excellent, because I know they're wanting to think this through and maybe give you a call if they've got a need. All right, here's, let me play devil's advocate for you. That's good with an attorney, play devil's advocate. Here's the question. Somebody out there listening to us, they're driving in the car, listening to us at their house or on the internet. They can, of course, listen to us at davidholland.com. They can listen to the program. Okay, so somebody says, well, Jason, I don't want to pay you any fees. I know you got to get paid for what you do. And if you're going to be in a, you know, work as an attorney, you get paid for your work. I don't want to do that. I want to take a quick, easy, cheap way out, and I'm just going to go into the bank and throw the keys to the house desk and say, you can have it.
Quite possibly the worst choice a person could make. Aside from the morality considerations that we've already talked about, throwing the keys at the desk is not going to solve your problem. The reason it's not going to solve your problem is if you are defaulting on your mortgage and the bank does foreclose on you, the bank is then going to turn around and they are going to sell your home at an auction, which is conducted inside the courthouse. Well, the difference between what the bank gets, if anything, and the more
what you owe
is going to be a default judgment against you. And that judgment is going to follow you. Well, I know there are people out there saying, all right, fine. So they'll have a piece of paper and the bank can waive it. And that's going to mean absolutely nothing.
You can't get blood from a turnip.
Right. Well, that's wrong also. The bank is then allowed to send you questions regarding all of your finances, any assets that you may have. And the bank gets to start levying and taking your assets. So that Heisman Trophy that you won way back in college, that's up for grabs. That's up for grabs. So that is quite possibly the worst choice a person can make.
So it's not just a property, ultimately, that can be collateral or that is asked to be an asset that satisfies the mortgage.
That is correct. You as the homeowner are still going to be obligated to fulfill your monetary commitment to the bank. Even if you go into the bank, put the keys on the desk and say, here, your bank, you can have it. I can't afford it anymore. You don't simply walk away from that
debt. So this is
debt.
Very serious. You cannot just, okay, so here's the question with the time we have remaining. Okay, so if that is the case and people have some other assets, what can they do to kind of protect other assets and still, you know, protect themselves from this liability that may hang?
Well, what they have to do is they have to, first off, avoid the option of going into the bank and putting the keys on the desk. And number two, they have to work with a law firm such as the Har Law Firm to prevent a foreclosure, to prevent losing their home and having it sold at auction so that they are to prevent this deficiency judgment between what the bank received for your home and what you still owe.
All right. So let's say you've consulted with them, Jason, and this, of course, would now be hypothetical. And your advice is, look, there's just no way you're going to be able to make this work. And I, you know, the concessions we need from the bank are just going to be beyond what probably the bank will do. Is the next step then to clear out this debt and get it off of their back, so to speak, going forward? Is then the next option to consider bankruptcy?
Bankruptcy is an option. Another option that's available is something called a deed in lieu of foreclosure, where we go to the bank and we say, look, we're going to sign our deed, our home over to you, bank, with the contractual understanding that you will not pursue a foreclosure against us.
So you say, all right, here's the deal. I'll give you the property. Here's a deed. If you just say that's settlement in full.
Correct.
Okay.
Another option, a short sale. This option has become less and less accepted by the banking industry. That's just simply where the bank agrees to allow you to put your home up for sale. And if the bank accepts an offer, you do get to walk away from the remaining debt. And of course, the bank receives all of the money that the home sold for.
Now,
tax laws are in kind of in flux on this, and I'd have to go and see where we are exactly right now. But one thing just to be on alert and be careful with is if you do get a relief of debt, the general tax rules is relief of debt is taxable as income. So be mindful of that, ladies and gentlemen, if you do approach this. Okay, we're running out of time. Real quick, one more time, the number, Jason. I know people are going to give you a call.
The Haar Law Firm, now with two offices in Volusia County, 386-226-4866.
Outstanding. Well, I'm not even going to have Lisa wave her flag at me. Thank you for being with us today, ladies and gentlemen, and be sure to tune in next time. And remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.